Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Wednesday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Previously on Hello, John Doe.
I would like to know who my dad is. I found out I potentially had another sister through the Brandenburg side, but they were all connected to the Brandenburg, except me.
Philip Stadium from Patterson, you should have had your butt here because your sisters love you. He wants those answers. We're going to do everything we can as a family to help him get those answers.
At this point, Steve still hadn't met Sandy, his biological mom, and he had no plans to. But he had met plenty of people related to Sandy. In our last chapter, the Brandenburg sisters wanted to accept him into their fold, even though DNA tests showed they didn't share the same father. Now that Brandenburg was ruled out, Steve really wanted an answer to what man helped make him, him.
You want to find your father, right? Or at least know who he is.
Know who he is.
For us to at least find out.
Yeah. That's one of my biggest things.
I needed to ask an expert, so I called Carol Selecki, who's been with the Doe Network for years. She got involved after her ex-husband disappeared in 1989. He was missing almost 20 years before he matched with a John Doe who had drowned while snorkeling in Florida. Carol has always loved genealogy and ancestry, but she also had a stepfather who was adopted as a baby.
And child, I was more interested in learning about his biological family than he was.
For the last few decades, she's helped adoptees find their biological families.
I work in retail jewelry sales. I make my money, and then I come home, and this is my hobby.
I asked Carol to help me build out Steve's family tree on Ancestry.com.
So, like, the strength of the DNA matches, if you have close matches, and you're able to identify who these people are and to build out their family trees, you could solve this pretty quickly. What I mean by the strength of the DNA matches, the amount of DNA that two people share is measured in a unit called centimorgans.
In general, the higher the centimorgan count, the closer the genetic link. This stuff can get real complicated. But basically, you want to find where those numbers are the highest. So in Steve's case, Carol found a woman who shared 556 centimorgans of DNA with him.
So the next thing I do is look at the matches and we'll score 556. We look at the matches that Stephen and 556 have in common. And I try to look for matches that have good size public family trees that you can look at and analyze. And I try to see how people are interconnected. And what you want to do is find their most recent common ancestor. We want to try to find maybe a grandparent or great-grandparent.
Then Carol built private, unsearchable trees, plotting out DNA matches to see how people connect. Basically, that's how she pinpointed their most recent common ancestor.
And I was able to determine that 556 is his first cousin once removed. So she is Stephen's father's first cousin. So she and Stephen's birth father share a set of grandparents. Now we need to figure out who the other set of grandparents is.
Based on this meticulous matching process, Carol identified Steve's paternal grandparents. They settled in Nevada, and they had one son.
In a nutshell, we have the only son of a married couple who come from two different areas of the country, and we have close and clear DNA connections to both sides of this couple's families. So that's what leads me to believe that Daniel is his birth father.
After her exhaustive search, Carol had a name, Daniel Polk. It felt like we'd found him, but I wanted to run his name past Sandy. So I called her up and asked, did the name Polk sound familiar? And she confirmed that yes, she did remember a Dan Polk, who she knew in Charlotte. She told me Dan was a car salesman, a very slick person. Steve would have been conceived around the summer of 1973. Sandy told me she didn't date him per se, but she did remember him. So we did a bit more digging on Daniel Polk. He served in the Navy in Vietnam, and then he drilled water wells. He also volunteered with the fire department in Lubbock, Texas. I also found out that in 1979, he married a woman named Ronalda, about 5 years after Steve was born. And there was something else.
He died in 1980.
Daniel would have been a newlywed.
Pretty much a brain tumor is what it looks like. Yeah, brain tumor. Yeah, very sad.
He was just 33 and living in Texas when he died. He was buried at a cemetery in New Mexico. After all this time, I'd be able to tell Steve his father's name, but he'd never be able to ask him the questions he had, or to visit with him, or see if they both sit in the same way, or talk similarly. This isn't the first time Carol's digging helped someone find the parent they were looking for, only to find that they were gone. It was too late.
I know firsthand what it's like to live without answers for many, many years. And, you know, it's just important for people to know their origins. You know, it just gives people peace of mind. Regardless of what the answers are, just to have the answers and to know the truth is what gives people peace of mind.
After Carol filled me in, I needed to tell Steve. I called Steve and Jeanette in June of 2023.
We have been into Ancestry, and we have, you know, I did find Polk. Polk was a name. The closest relative to you that I found in Ancestry was a Polk. Got a hold of Sandy, and I said, do you remember any Polks? Mm-hmm. And she did. I do believe what? It. Daniel James Polk.
Where is he from? Was he from North Carolina? Or?
Yes, in the same area. She said that she got pretty. Charlotte. Is in Charlotte.
Is he still?
And he has passed away. He passed away in 1980.
Oh, wow.
Now, as of right now, unless something changes my mind, I believe that your last name would be Polk. And you have family there that you were stolen from, too. They probably don't even know you exist.
Steve didn't say much on the phone that day. I can see why. I told him his father was Daniel Polk at the end of a long phone call. Knowing the name of his father could only do so much. In that moment, it didn't make him feel any more wanted. I've thought about this interaction a lot. Like I said before, I'd been running ahead of Steve, opening doors for him that he wasn't ready for. I wanted so desperately to help him move forward, I'd been pushing. And maybe I'd gone too far this time. My name is Todd Matthews, and this is Hello, John Doe, a sleuth, a family, and a serial killer. The story of a family torn apart by tragedy and my quest to bring them back together. Chapter 10, The Reunion. Okay, I am recording now. We are about how far out?
64 miles.
64 miles out from our hotel, and we won't see Steve until later tonight after he gets off work. A few weeks earlier in August of 2023, the Brandenburg sisters had all gotten together for their own reunion at Andrea's place in Tennessee. You remember Andrea, the firecracker didn't know her birth family till her 50s. She had invited her sister Michelle, the dog kennel owner from Michigan, and her other sister Amy, the Virginia school bus driver, and they had invited Steve.
It was supposed to be a mini family reunion. but he didn't come.
Steve was a no-show, but all of them were so excited to welcome him into their circle.
So the three of us decided right then and there at her table at Andrea's house that we were going to go to him.
It could be a little road trip, and they invited me to come along again. This second reunion came together real fast late summer. In a matter of days, Andrea and I were talking about driving there in the same car from Tennessee to Steve's hometown, Cherryville, North Carolina. Amy and her husband, Mike, were going to meet us there. They didn't want to give Steve a chance to back out or make an excuse, so they forged ahead.
He didn't know we were coming. We knew if we told him, he probably would have said he had to work or something. We kind of just sprung in on him.
I get where Amy's coming from. She and her brother had an amazing connection when they first met. But after that, he seemed distant. Amy wanted to continue spending time with her newfound family. But it's hard to contain surprises of this scale. Mary, Steve's adoptive mom, soon found out the sisters were coming to Cherryville to see Steve, and she didn't think he'd appreciate them just dropping in. So she told him. That's the first time things got tense. She started texting me. Tell them not to come. He is very upset. But when I texted Steve, he said he was cool with it, as long as we met at the hotel, not at his place. It would be the first of many contradictions that weekend. That summer afternoon, Steve met us at the Quality Inn. It was an enthusiastic reunion. He seemed genuinely happy to see his sisters and vice versa. They couldn't wait to tell him about their plan. Here's Andrea, the sister who was adopted too.
Well, we're good. Our original plan was, Ty was going to message you and say, hey, I just came into Charlotte. I'm going to be in, you know, Kings Mountain or Shelby. You know, I want to see you. Can you come over to the hotel and hang out with
me? Then they would be here.
And then we were going to surprise you. That was our original plan. It's just been over 2 years.
Yeah. That's one thing my mom will keep a secret from me. I promise you that.
Oh, shit. We
yeah. Can't tell her nothing. Well, she asked me if I was working Saturday. And I said, no. I said, what you need? She said, I mean, stuff done around the house. I was like, what you need done? She took me right back. She said, I can't lie to you.
She didn't get down good.
No, the next text, it wasn't 5 minutes later, she said, you know I can't ever lie to you.
Well, I'm kind of glad she told you so it wouldn't be too much of a shock.
Yeah.
We wanted to surprise you, but we didn't want it to, like, blindside you.
But it would be another surprise that would end up unraveling some of the goodwill between Steve's new sisters and his mom and girlfriend. Steve, his sisters, and I gathered at the hotel, not too far from his house. The hotel wasn't fancy. It was the kind where each room opens up into the parking lot. We all got separate rooms, but we treated Andrea as like home base. So that's where we were, catching up and getting settled. Everyone seemed at ease. It felt like whatever tension had happened before we got there was resolved.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead.
With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Wednesday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
About an hour after we all gathered, his sisters told Steve there was more. It's a little hard to hear, but here's Andrea.
Okay, you have another surprise. It's your choice.
Sandy came with them.
I'm sorry.
She's in the room.
I'm sorry.
If you don't want to see her, that's fine with all of us.
Steve's mother, who gave him up for adoption 50 years ago, who he'd only messaged on Facebook, was suddenly a room away. Sandy had tagged along in Amy and Mike's car. Now she was sitting in her own hotel room at the same Quality Inn. I couldn't believe we had arrived at this point. A mother and son, torn apart by Floyd, might be reunited today, if Steve would agree to see her.
We're here with you, Steve.
I think you will open your heart.
Both of you need it.
We didn't want Jerry Springery, but...
both of you need it.
Because you wasn't going to go.
And it's no holds barred. If you want to yell at her, yell at her.
Yell at her.
He said, I ain't going to yell at her.
We're just saying, you do what you want to.
And this last 3 years has been pretty fucking rough on you. So don't feel like you're restrained that you can't ask her anything, because everything is open right now for all of us. And you don't have to worry about it. We got you.
That's Are you okay with it?
If you're not, tell us. Be honest with us.
That's fine.
He said it's fine. Steve seemed really laid back in this moment. He was sitting, having a drink, seemingly going along with the flow.
I mean, I'm serious. I want to help you so you can process this whole thing.
She understood before we went that if he didn't want to see her, we weren't going to force her on him, you know. So she came prepared to stay in the hotel room by herself without seeing him.
Steve got to choose. You can hear us ask him. But his choice was made in a matter of a few minutes, with Sandy sitting in the other room. If he had known this was the weekend he'd meet Sandy, his girlfriend, or his mom would have been by his side. But that day, he didn't have either of them to lean on. I'll let Amy tell you what happened next.
Before we brought her in, we asked Steven if he wanted to see her, and he said yes. So we took Sandy, and she was in the hotel room, and then we asked. And he said, sure, bring her over. I said, just ripped the Band-Aid off and brought her in the room. And some people were mad at me because I did it that way.
The thinking was that Sandy wouldn't live forever. She was already in her 70s. And that Steve had real questions about his background that only she might be able to answer. I figured if we all got behind him and supported him, maybe this was the right time to meet Sandy. They wheeled Sandy into Andrea's room where we were all gathered. She looked a little nervous and a little tired, like she'd been traveling all day and it had been hard on her. There were a lot of us in that hotel room, and only a few chairs and two big beds. I watched the two. I was delighted to reunite mother and son. I'd been the go-between for so long, and here they were, finally face-to-face after all this time. They didn't look too much alike. But they did share the same temperament, a little reserved, but polite.
They just said hello. There wasn't no big, happy reunion, hug each other.
Based on all the time that I'd spent with both Steve and Sandy separately, I knew Steve had hesitations about meeting her, and I knew Sandy was reluctant to push too much. For the rest of the afternoon, we all sat in the hotel room together. Steve sat with Sandy, knee to knee, him in a hotel chair, and her in her wheelchair. The rest of us hung around the room. Some went in and out to smoke cigarettes, some poured drinks. Everyone cracked jokes and exchanged stories about the car ride there. I don't know all of what Sandy and Steve talked about in that corner. We tried to give them some space. To be fair, though, there wasn't much space in that room. No real quiet for a private conversation. But every time I glanced over, it felt like they were getting along. I saw Steve show Sandy photos of his kids, and she reciprocated. At first, they didn't talk about anything too deep. But as the afternoon went on, Steve dug a bit deeper. You can hear Steve here. He's pretty faint.
Were you scared of him?
Steve asked if she was scared of Floyd, the man who tore them apart.
Terrified. He had a knife with him all the time. A knife under the pillow, knives and guns. One time, the girls and I were in the thing, and he was in the kitchen. He caught a squirrel somewhere. And he said, if any of you ever tried to leave, I'm going to skin you just like this squirrel.
We've heard this story before, how Floyd threatened to skin Sandy and her girls like squirrels. But this was the first time that Steve had heard it. Was he starting to see that Sandy was a victim too?
I was arrested for writing a $1.78 check at 7-Eleven for diapers for Haiti. I mean, the biggest part of it was after the tornado and after you were born, FEMA put us back in a trailer in Upchurch. And I had no car, no way to get out. And every time a storm came, Annie was two, she would freak out. I would freak out. And I guess now they call it PTSD. And there was no help. I asked and asked and asked for help. And every guy would say,
the system failed her in more ways than one.
Yes.
How's it make you feel?
I
would be happy.
He's processing a lot.
I think everyone wanted to make him feel validated. But in hindsight, we didn't give him a whole lot of space to just sit with this.
It's a lot to process. I'm not going to lie. When I found out about him, you know, I still have the messages. I said, they tell me you're my brother. I was like, is that true? And he was like, yeah, I think I am. So, I mean, it's a lot to process. A lot. It is.
Throughout this story, I'd learn something from, say, Sandy, and then relay it back to Steve. And Steve would say something, and I'd tell Sandy. I was the carrier pigeon. I'd been a buffer for both of them. But now I needed to step away and give them a chance to talk to each other. If Steve had questions, this was his chance to ask Sandy directly. Every time I looked over to see Sandy talking to Steve, I thought to myself, 50 years ago, Franklin Floyd told Sandy she'd never see her son again. Today, we were undoing that promise. While all of this was going down in the hotel room, Mary, who lives pretty close to Steve, checked in on him.
I texted Steve. I said, you okay? He said, Mama, get down here.
Mary had no idea that Sandy was at the hotel. She thought just his sisters had come. She was already on the fence about that. So when she realized Sandy herself was face-to-face with Steve, well, Mary was angry.
Steve was ambushed with this, and it's not very nice of them to do that. Well, I went down there, and the first thing he said when I went into the room was, this is my mama, and I love her.
Steve was proudly introducing her, but I think something else was going on. He wanted the whole room to know that Mary was the one who'd been there for him his whole life. Or maybe after Mary arrived, he felt guilty after unexpectedly spending the whole day with Sandy. I wasn't sure. Amy noticed a shift too.
His whole attitude changed. Because before Mary got there, he was talking to Sandy and asking her questions, and she was answering them for him. And he seemed to be a little more relaxed. But then when Mary got there, they say he just withdrew.
Jeanette came to the hotel after work, too. She seemed a little quiet, but I figured she was just in shock. We tried to lighten the mood by going out to eat together. We all went. The sisters, plus Sandy, Jeanette and Steve. We all sat at a big, long table at a Mexican joint in town.
When we went to dinner, it was comical as hell. We all just laughed so much. We were all being silly. Oh, we had a blast.
But by this point, something was amiss. Mary would later say that she was upset Sandy had come without telling Steve first. I had a hard time seeing it clearly just then. That day, I was only thinking about the potential positives of having Steve been able to sit down with Sandy, not the blowback it might have. I'd grown tired of Steve not wanting to move forward on his journey, not walking through the doors I'd helped open for him. Mary and Jeanette aren't exactly the kind of people to scream or get visibly angry. But it was clear they weren't happy with this situation. Jeanette said as much to me. I wish this hadn't have happened. By Saturday morning, the tension began to come into focus for the sisters. At the Mexican restaurant the night before, Jeanette apparently told Andrea she felt this had been sprung on Steve without his consent. Here's Andrea.
And, you know, she's like, you know, I'll have to pick up the pieces. And I understand that. But we're here too. You know, we've got his back. We'll help. We're a phone call away. We're a text message away. We'll talk to him. Because if he did have any more questions, she is the only person that could answer them.
That Saturday, Steve had to run a few errands, so we knew we wouldn't be seeing him until later. That mostly left Sandy, Amy, and Andrea alone with me, so we went out to lunch. How did you feel last night?
We were talking pretty good for a while. Felt wonderful. And he called me Mama last night. I told him I looked for him in every way that I knew how at the time and found nothing. And he said, oh, and then Mary said that they had done away with the birth certificate when she adopted him. And then he said, oh, I see. And that was the end of that. And then everybody else came back in and we stopped talking like that. I think it answered a question for it. But I think in the back of his mind, and I guess if I were in his position, I'd feel the same way, that I didn't look hard enough.
How do you feel to see him after 50 years?
Strange, but good.
Of all the people in the room with Steve that weekend, it seemed like Sandy could empathize with Steve the most.
He's more fragile than I am, so I need to let him do it in his time, in his way.
Sandy remained clear-headed about the whole thing. She knew this might be hard on him. She didn't always want to surprise Steve in Cherryville or think it was the right thing to do. Amy encouraged her to go. Sandy had already lost one kid. Amy wanted her to have the opportunity to know her son.
I told her at first, I said, no, I'm not going. And she said, if I have to drag you out of the house, you're going.
You were forced to go
too. Yeah, because I told her that I didn't feel like...
She felt like she didn't deserve to see him.
I think you did, though.
I think I do now, but I'm sort of like Steve in that I don't like to intrude.
Sandy had already processed Steve coming back in her life before she even showed up this weekend. But Steve was still processing. She knew she didn't have a right to know him if he didn't want her. She recognized that boundary. But Steve's sister Amy wanted peace in the family. She thought bringing everyone together would help them move through things. Amy was trying to get Steve to see for himself that he wasn't abandoned or discarded. What happened was for the best. I think Amy, who had already gone through so much in her life, wanted Steve and Sandy to feel the peace that she'd found. She knew Jeanette would be left to care for Steve in the aftermath, that maybe Steve wasn't ready, that there would be consequences. But she barreled ahead, leaving Steve's girlfriend in the dark.
And I understand why she's mad, because she is the one that has to deal with him after everybody's gone. But I wish she would take a minute to realize all of this needed to happen. We need to close the story. We need the story to have an ending. And I expect him to not talk to me for a long time.
This is kind of a remarkable bit of insight. Amy knew surprising her brother with her mom had pushed her brother away, but still hoped he'd come back on his own sometime in the future. Sandy also recognized this might be the only time she ever sees Steve.
He's not at peace, and it's not going to be closure until he's at peace. So, I would love to have a relationship with him. But if that's not what he wants, I'm not going to push it on. It's enough to know that he's alive, and that we found him, and that I've seen him. And if that's all I've got, that's all I've got.
After that weekend, it took a long time to get Mary to call me back. She ended up talking to my producer, Kate.
Well, I was told that his sister was coming, and that was it, and a friend from up in Tennessee.
Mary, for her part, said Steve felt blindsided and maybe ganged up on.
They could have been honest, but they weren't. They were awful with it. And if they'd have told me his mama was coming, then it might have been different.
To this day, Mary assumes Sandy wants something from Steve.
She's trying to play Steve on the pity card, but he's smarter than that.
Look, it could be that Steve was just being polite that day in the hotel, showing Sandy pictures and talking to her. Maybe he didn't want to offend her, so he stayed put to hear her out, even if he had lost faith in her. But it could be that Mary was the one having a hard time dealing with Sandy coming back into the picture.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I got to change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone. What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Wednesday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Amy thanks Steve's deferential to Mary, that he felt he didn't want to disappoint her by knowing Sandy. There's a lot of complicated dynamics here.
I think he was afraid to let Mary know that he wanted, and Jeanette to know that he wanted to meet her. Like, there was something wrong with that. It's almost like he doesn't want to hurt her feelings. I don't know. I can't get a read on it. Steven needed to know, and Sandy needed to know, that even though it was a shitty decision that she made to give him to Mary, it saved his life.
The circumstances of Steve's life, even the one no one remembers, ensured he survived.
Now, he hugged her both days. Friday before when we were leaving, he hugged her. And Saturday before he left, he hugged her. And he called her mom. Sandy, you know, teared up and said that he called me mom. That's when I knew what I had done was right.
But there's something I keep coming back to. If there is a part of this family story that is black and white, it's this. Franklin Floyd did a world of damage. That persists to this day.
He took away a lot, and we're finding what he didn't get his hands on. And we're trying to put it back together. And that's all that matters.
Every single person in this story is experiencing the ripple effects of their family being torn apart and dealing with their own struggles. It's like that saying, hurt people hurt people. And bringing a family together is simply not enough to bring closure to tragedy. Franklin Floyd robbed this family of a lot. He took Susie from them, and then he took Michael. He forced Sandy into a situation in which she felt she had to give up her son.
You know, we will survive. We have survived. And we'll just keep growing from here.
She hopes so. And I do too. After that weekend, my conversations with Steve and Jeanette dwindled. I don't think Steve was necessarily cutting me out. I just figured he retreated from everyone. Then several months later, my producer Kate tried Mary one last time. And she picked up. I was glad she picked up. I was worried about how the reunion hit Steve, and I was anxious to hear how he was faring. Mary said the months after the reunion had been tough.
He has not been the same, and he's not happy. He did not want to meet her, and it was forced on him.
What does Steve say about all this?
He won't talk about it. He don't want no more said about it. We're trying to let it die. Just let it die down. And he's trying to avoid Todd, too.
Really?
Yeah. He'll answer him shortly, but he won't carry on the conversation.
That's too bad. I know Todd cares about him.
I know that, but, you know, the more you stir, my parents told me, the more you stir shit, the worse it stinks. And he done told me, he said, Mama, she might give life to me, but she won't answer and tell me the truth on questions. It's like, one time you lie to me, shame on you. Second time, it's shame on me. There won't be a third time.
What did she lie about, do you know?
She didn't know who his daddy was, and she didn't remember all this. She remembers all this. It's just a pity trip.
Has he talked about therapy at all? Like, would that help?
He wouldn't go to that. She's like my husband. He wouldn't go to that.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, so I just want to run this by you. Sandy, to me, seems pretty unrecognizable. She seems like she watches out for her grandkids, and she cares for her kids, and that she's a better mom than she used to be. And I wonder if you believe that she's changed.
I don't know. I'm not around her, so I don't know.
She got settled down. She married for 30 years, had more kids, and now has, you know, grandkids and I guess great-grandkids. And they say that she's changed.
Well, it's about time.
Do you think people can change?
You know, people can change if they want to. God can change anybody, if you're willing.
Do you think he regrets starting on all this, knowing his real name and knowing about Sandy and knowing about...
No, well, he ain't unhappy about that, I don't think. I think he will calm down eventually. Maybe 10, 15 years from now. He might reach out to him, but I doubt it.
3 years ago, Steve asked me to find out more about his origin story. We ended up on the journey together, but neither of us knew just what we were getting into. Kate asked Steve's sister Amy about my role here.
It's like he's been digging in and searching, and he brought Steve to the rest of us. You know, he's the one that's been fighting. If you'd have thought he was the parent that lost their child a long time ago, you'd have thought he was Sandy. So he's family.
Knowing what I know now, should I have done this? I think the answer is yes. If you ask me, I think the reunion was the only thing to do. But I wish I'd realized sooner that Steve needed more time to process. Not the months I gave him, but years. And like I've said, I had my own journey to Steve's story. I first heard about him 20 years ago, long before I knew Amy or Sandy, or even Steve himself. I said this in the beginning. This case chose me. The way I see it, Steve and I are still early in our relationship. Once you've been in a situation like this one, of being lost and found, the people you embark with on that journey stay with you. Even if we don't talk for a while, I think we can pick up right where we left off when Steve's ready. I guess I know why I'm so invested in this one. You ever wish for something you can't have? I wish I had what Steve has. The opportunity to know his siblings. I wasn't afforded that. And when I opened the door for him, he decided he didn't want to walk through. It's left me jealous, I guess. What I do to trade places with him, just for a day. You always want what you can't have. I'm used to dealing with the dead. It's easier to hand someone a box of bones. There's a homecoming and a finality of knowing your loved one's not missing anymore. They're at peace. It's so much harder to work with the living. We're complicated and messy as humans. People who love and hurt each other. Today, Steve has more people who love him and ready to support him. When the time is right for him to reach out, I hope he'll be glad to have those people in his life. And I hope he'll forgive me for the mistakes I made along the way. I've opened the door, and hopefully sometime in the future, Steve will choose to walk through.
Remember how I told you at the end of the story we'd see things in a different light? Just as we'd finished this episode, Todd Matthews died suddenly. He's now on the other side of the veil between life and death. He spent so much of his life thinking about the dead and hoping one day to reunite with the siblings he lost. But his sudden passing has left us all mourning. I keep thinking about all the things he said during this journey that now have deeper meaning since he's gone. So we felt like it was only fitting to spend time with his story. For our first bonus episode, we're going to dig into the life of an original, our host, Todd Matthews.
He's on the other side now.
Mm-hmm. And who's to say that he might leave a little tidbit of information here, little clues? You don't know that. You know, do I believe in God? Yes, I do. Do I believe in Todd? Yes, I do.
Hello, John Doe is an original production by Revelations Entertainment in association with First and Last Productions. From Revelations, our executive producers are Morgan Freeman and James Younger. From First to Last, Lindsay Moreno is the executive producer. Our producing partner is Neon Hum Media. It was written and produced by Kate Mishkin. Our editor is Catherine St. Louis. She is also Neon Hum Media's executive editor. Our executive producer is Shara Morris. Our development producer is Ian Lindsay. Our associate producer is Rufaro Faith Mazarura. Sound design and mixing by Scott Somerville. Theme and original music composed by Jesse Perlstein. Additional music came from Epidemic Sound and Blue Dot Sessions. Vendel Fulton is our fact checker. Our production manager is Samantha Allison. For My Heart Media, Dylan Fagan is our executive producer. Special thanks to Adelia Rubin at Neon Hum and Carrie Lieberman and Will Pearson at iHeart Media. I'm Todd Matthews. You can learn more about NamUs at namus.gov. The number for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children's call center is 1-800-THE-LOST. That's 1-800-843-5678. The National Sexual Assault Hotline from the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network is 1-800-656-4673. Okay, guys, this is the end of the show. If you didn't like it, don't do anything. But if you did like it, you make sure that you rate and review the show. It helps more people to find it and hear this wonderful story. Thanks again for listening.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.